for your dream for any actor. You want a storyline, you want a character with substance, you want something that you could just really, really get your hands dirty and get in there and do something, you know, and challenge yourself as an actor.
Right.
You
right.
want storylines like that. So when you're fortunate enough to have that happen, you want to be able to deliver. So yeah, that was exciting. And Tony Todd, I mean, he's fantastic.
yeah,
everybody's like, you say Candyman three times.
I'm serious. I wouldn't do it.
I definitely did not. I'm not playing around like that.
On today's Daytime Confidential podcast, we have the dynamic duo bringing the sexual chocolate back to Genoa City. I'm talking about Angel Conwell and Rhetoric Williams, who play siblings Leslie and Tyler Michelson on CBS Daytime's The Young and the Restless. Angel, Rhetoric, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
All right, now let me just say, what a relief the two of you and your co-stars, Ignacio Sericcio and Lamon Archie, have been. Genoa City was really starting to look a little pale there.
That is true, but it's definitely flavorful now. It's definitely, definitely a lot of flavor in Genoa City at the moment.
Yes.
I'm loving it.
Yes. Now, Angel, you had been recurring on the show before the regime change. What has it
right.
been like getting an actual backstory and powerful new arcs to play under Jill Farren Phelps, the new executive producer, and Josh Griffith, the new head writer?
I'm really just honored and focused. It's been a moment of focus for me where, you know, you never know what's going to happen when things change behind the scenes, and all you can do is just keep your fingers crossed and hope that you're a part of it. But for me to actually be a part of it and at this capacity, I'm really excited, and you know, it's a great thing, and then to have Rhetoric come in, and it just makes everything that much better. So yeah, I'm here just trying to do my thing, Jamie.
I hear you. Now, Rhetoric, the fact that you are a good-looking model turned actor has drawn comparisons to another former Genoa City stud, Shamar Moore, who played Malcolm. How have you managed to successfully create Tyler on your own terms amid all the "is he the new Malcolm" talk?
Well, I just follow the script, stick to the script, because they've created an amazing character. There's so much depth there, and I just sunk my teeth in. And I think the difference between the two characters is it's you know, there's such a, like, if you look at the, I actually did my research when I came on the show, because I didn't follow the show too much before coming on, but
uh-huh.
Malcolm was a completely different character, totally, I mean, completely different cut. So I think just the fact that I just followed the script, you know, and did what was on the lines, it led itself, you know, astray from that.
Nice, nice.
Well, as if Shamar Moore, the comparisons weren't enough, Tyler is coming between the very popular Lane. You are aware that the fans of Lane will rent airplanes to try and make sure that their couple stays together, right?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I love that. When I first came on the show, I was a little bit, like, reserved as far as, you know, my input or my, you know, take on that whole situation. But the more so coming on set, more playing the character, you know, I've embraced that. And then as an actor, you know, you're an entertainer first and foremost. So for me, it's entertaining either way it goes. You know, whether it's something that the Lane fans may not want. You know, it may not be preferable for them, but it's going to be entertaining. So that's we're here to entertain.
Do you guys have a squish name yet? Is there a? I haven't seen anything. Is there a Lyler or a? What would it maybe be? Chili, baby. Have you seen any squish names?
Oh yeah, I've seen that online a few times. Yeah, I've seen people throw some stuff online.
Well, you know you're doing your job if they create a squish name for you. Now, what has it been like working with Crystal Khalil, who plays Lily, and Daniel Goddard, who plays her husband Kane, in this triangle?
Amazing, amazing. Can't even put it in words. It's one of those things where it's a lot of it's a good energy there. I actually did my screen test with the two of those. It was Daniel Goddard. He came in. I had a scene with him, and then I had a scene with Crystal, and I knew right away that if I was like, if I get the job, this is going to be like such a good experience to work with these two, because they're really, really good at what they do, and they bring like an element of it's like it's work, but they have like a carefreeness about them. The both of them do, and they work well together as well.
Nice, nice. Now, Angel, like Rhetoric, you've had to deal with endless comparisons as Leslie is paired with Neil Winters, the widower of Drusilla Barber Winters.
Right.
Do you think, because we've talked about this before, but do you think that the show having given you such a meaty storyline of late, dealing with Leslie's father and the murder of her mother, do you think this has finally cemented Leslie's place in Genoa City on her own terms?
I hope so, and at least if not completely cemented, at least I feel like it's on the way. It's been it's progression, but you know it happens as far as the comparison. But I think Drew and Leslie are completely different characters, and they're written differently, and they have different characteristics. So hopefully at some point the similarities will be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a sticky subject,
right.
But hopefully that won't happen as much.
And you don't see
on.
That. It's funny how you, I mean, I was about to say you don't really see that with a lot of the white characters, but you kind of do, because I know like on General Hospital, whenever Maurice Bernard has a new love interest, you know,
right.
We'll call them Brenda Botts, and, you know, based on Vanessa Marcel's character. But, you know, we've kind of seen that with Y&R, with the love interest since Drew, but I mean
any love interest that comes in for Neil, they're gonna automatically get that comparison.
Right.
But hopefully as time goes on, you know, Leslie will have her own niche, and people will see Leslie for Leslie as opposed to a comparison to Drew.
Well, I think it's happening, because one thing that's different than with Leslie as opposed to Sophia or Eva Marcel's character or some of the ones who have come in recent years is this meaty story that you've been given, this backstory with your father and your mother. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Gus Rogan, played by Candyman's Tony Todd, I mean, is coveted in as the patriarch of this family who was wrongfully accused of murdering their mother. How was it to go from Leslie and Tyler kind of flirting with Neil and Lily respectively to dealing with some pretty ugly stuff?
For me, like, that was what you asked for as an actor, because anytime there's something that's like, you know, because that's the drama, that's the, you know, the emotion, that's the depth, and it may play out as you know, like someone's going through problems. It's not, you know, very ideal when you're viewing it, but as an actor, that's like the best place to be. It's the most fun. That's like the highlight of the roller coaster when you're riding it. So when he came in and that story took that whole whirlwind, that was when things started getting fun, you know, as far as, you know, what we do. And
that's basically a dream for any actor. You want a storyline, you want a character with substance, you want something that you could just really, really get your hands dirty and get in there and do something, you know, and challenge yourself as an actor.
Right.
You want storylines like that. So when you're fortunate enough to have that happen, you want to be able to deliver. So yeah, that was exciting. And Tony Todd, he's fantastic.
Yeah,
everybody's like, you say Candyman three times.
I'm serious. I wouldn't do it.
You better believe I didn't. I definitely did not. I'm not playing around like that. We don't play those kind of games.
What I thought was funny, was kind of good in the scenes that I had, was another one where I sat down and you know, went to go visit him in jail. And it was like the confronting of, you know, the father that he was, you know, terrified when he was younger. But now he's like grown and he wanted like face to face with him and all that. And as an actor getting in a scene, I always try to find like, you know, something that I relate to, that I can kind of like ground myself and get into that situation. And with that, it was like, I remember growing up as a kid, we were terrified of Candyman. So it's kind of cool to be in a scene, like, you know, and just go back and forth with him like that. But
yeah. And those first scenes were really intense too. They were really intense. Yeah.
Well, you guys did a bang up job. I mean, it was just, you know, despite the fact that I'm sitting here going, this is Candyman. It's like the very fact that, I mean, really, you guys kind of did think of him, your characters, as the boogeyman. I mean, someone who you believe murdered your mother. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah. Our entire lives, he's basically, he's been a horror story for
us. Bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's all good now. It's all good now. We're a family now.
Right. Sympathy for the Candyman.
Yeah.
Now, Angel, what has been your process for taking Leslie from being a sultry side character to delving into such dysfunctional family drama?
Well, I mean, luckily, it's really just, it's been written out. It's there. So I take what they write and I just try to color it and give it some Leslie spice. But honestly, Josh and Angelica and Jill, they've just done a really great job of developing Leslie. So, I mean, luckily I can just take what they give and dig in and take it from a place. I think most actors, what we do is we take things from a place of how maybe we would handle certain situations, and then we go from there. So for me, that's what I've done.
Now, excuse me, Angel, you mentioned Angelica McDaniel, the vice president for CBS Daytime. Now, you've worked in a myriad of entertainment roles, whether it be sitcoms, movies.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to have a network exec that is so involved and so invested in seeing your soap succeed and your character succeed and tweeting about the characters and tweeting with the fans? I mean, it's so unique.
Well, it's a beautiful thing because it sets the tone.
Uh-huh.
It really sets the tone. It gets you even more excited and enthusiastic about everything that's going on and the potential and the possibilities of the situation. So, I mean, it's a very fortunate situation to be working with people like Angelica, who she's clearly, I mean, extremely involved and instrumental in everything that goes on. So, I mean, it's a great situation altogether. And I was going to add something, but I'm going to let Red add because I know he wants to say something.
I know you're going to say all the way around.
You know what I was going to say? That's hilarious.
I was gonna say y'all got the brother and sister banter down pat.
Oh yeah,
that is my people.
With that, for me, I noticed Angelica and everybody. That was a surprising thing coming onto the show because the show is so iconic and so huge. And when I tell you, every single person under that roof is just everyone. I mean, it's wholeheartedly is involved, invested in the show, and I've never seen that before. And it's good to wake up and go to work and be in that kind of environment.
Yeah. Well, Angelica, I mean, she just gets it. She gets it, and she's very instrumental. I think it's just a reflection of what's going on in daytime right now. There's so many possibilities, and I know for a moment there were things were looking a little hazy, and nobody knew exactly what was going to happen with what. And now it's just like things are definitely picking up, and Angelica has a huge part to play in that. And I think it's an honor just to be involved with daytime at this time. It's a good time for it. So
it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's a refreshing thing too, not to get like off of the topic, but when you draw like comparisons, like as far as like leadership for organization, and when you see someone that's in such a like a leadership position and they're so involved in cutting edge things like social media, it's kind of refreshing, and it gives you a good feeling because you feel like you're kind of moving in a good direction.
Now, Leslie and Tyler have had to survive by both agreeing to create new identities for themselves and by believing certain truths about their family of origin. Now that those beliefs have been blown to smithereens, how are they managing to rebuild a new family unit with their dad, with each other, with the Winters? Rhetoric, we'll go to you for this one.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, good, because I think my character's having the most, troubles with this one here. He's kind of struggling a bit. He's kind of reaching and grabbing and all over the place. He's almost like you know, like someone who's drowning in the water, he's kind of just grabbing everywhere, whether it's, you know, a bottle or a woman or what. Like he's all over the place because he's trying to, you know, come to terms with what's going on in his life. And you know, that is just devastating in itself when you look at a parent, you know, that passes away and then to be so young. And then so that those are deep-seated, you know, emotions and things that are being drawn back up. So then when you add the element of, you know, like you said, creating an entirely different, you know, characteristic for yourself, totally different names, you know, this new identity. And then when that's revealed, it's there's a moment of, I guess, shock, you would say. But like in your life, it would be like a prolonged thing where it's an exposure. So, you know, you feel vulnerable, you're exposed. So he's in a very vulnerable state right now. I think, and that's why I love it's a good place to be. As portraying a character, someone that's vulnerable and someone, you know, they, because when he came in, he kind of had that, you know, chip on his shoulder, you know, that nobody, I mean, didn't see when, too much behind the curtain. Now things are being revealed. And I think that's just brilliant, you know. I really admire the writing. I get the scripts and I read them, and I'm always like, you know, lifting eyebrows, scratching my chest, like, this is good stuff, you know.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Now,
Fred will call me like, did you see this? Did you see that in the script?
Oh, that's awesome. You know, because we've heard
actors
who, you know, in our years of doing this, the, you'll hear from actors and they'll be like, did you see what we have to play? So it's really great. Excited about what they're playing. Now, Angel, Neil has been a rock for Leslie throughout all of this. And in real life, Christoph St. John has been vocal, you know, about wanting to get a leading lady to stick and, you know, to go for the long haul. Has he shared with you his thoughts on making Neil and Leslie a couple for the ages or working for the long haul?
Well, yeah, we're definitely hoping to make it work. And I like it right now, especially because Leslie is going through so much guilt dealing with Gus. And, you know, she was involved with putting him in prison for, you know, for such a long time. And he's been a rock for her. And he's enjoying that, but at the same time, it goes back and forth a little bit, you know. And that to me is a reflection of real life relationships. You have times where, you know, one person has to lean on the other, and then it switches up. So I mean, and it's taking its course, you know. It's taking its course. Slow and steady wins the race. But I like the situation with Neil and Leslie because they met so long ago, and it's definitely taken its time, and I think that's important. But Christoph and I are definitely trying to make it work. He's such a talent, and he's great to work with. So, you know, we'll see. Time will tell, basically. Time will tell.
Well, now that the Rogan Michelsons know who killed their mother, the siblings are faced with a new mystery. What can you guys share about Rose?
Absolutely nothing, because I have no idea. I'm waiting to find out myself. I promise you, I'm waiting to find out myself. We get the scripts, you know, pretty short notice, you know, from when we film them. So,
yeah.
No lie, I honestly don't know.
When I see who is Rose, I'm like, who is Rose? Who is Rose? I'm really wondering
myself.
Yeah,
you think we're acting. We're not acting.
We ask each other, and we're like, wait, well, who do you think Rose is?
Who is Rose? I don't know.
Well, you know,
that hasn't been revealed to us at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we couldn't put the confidential in Daytime Confidential if we didn't try to get some spoilers.
Yeah.
It's so confidential, we don't know what. It's very confidential, to say the least.
Tyler isn't backing down on pursuing Lily, even though she's married with two kids.
No.
Rhetoric. Do you and Marco Dapper, who play Carmine, trade secrets on playing hunky homewreckers?
We don't, but he's a cool guy. I've hung out with him many times. We don't really get into that. But I think it's his character. They do. I could see how you could. I never even thought about drawing that comparison, but it is kind of a similar situation where the passion is there. You know, where it's like you strip everything else away from the story. Both of them, you know, have such a focused, fixed intent, you know, on something. And it's kind of like nothing else matters. And it's like crazy, you know, in love, I guess you would say, or passion or whatever. There's a feeling there. So it kind of supersedes any thought process that you have. They're acting on emotion, You know, and I think for different reasons, though. They're completely different characters with different things going on in their lives. But, yeah, no, that's maybe so. That's a good tip. Maybe I might do that. I think I might do that.
I think they should be buddies. That's one thing. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, because they do kind of got some similarities there.
Yeah, for the both of your characters, that's one thing, the one slight thing that's missing that I would like to see. I'd like to see Leslie get some girlfriends, you know, especially since she and Avery kind of, you know, came, you know, well, first they were kind of adversarial, but, you know, now that they're kind of, you know, it's like, let's have some girlfriends moments, you know. Yeah, we could have Carmine and Tyler kind of trading, you know, Carmine could give him some tips. Oh, I can tell you how to go ahead and seal the deal with the man.
Oh, yeah. Because you know what, right now, yeah, because I follow the show since I've come on. I've been watching it, and I see he does have that. I mean, he's a bartender. I think all the bartenders, you know, they have that thing where they give, you know, they're like, you know, like a little bit of a mentoring mentality, you know, like that a bartender would have. But yeah, that would be kind of cool. That'd be good to see.
Yeah, nice. I love the friendship aspect of things, especially with Leslie and Avery. I mean, it only makes sense.
Yeah,
I think that's what ties me. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying. I think that's what kind of, you know, makes it interesting and makes it, you know, brings the reality aspect to it when you start seeing the different connections there and how everything is kind of intertwined.
Okay.
Like when you draw across the lines of different character stories.
Yeah.
Now, Angel, we've talked about this before. You have to be one of the hardest working sisters in Hollywood. In addition to Y&R, since the last time we spoke, you've done the sitcom Family Time, For Richer or For Poorer, and on Twitter, I had to share this because I did not know. I was hooked on the first season of The Real Husbands of Hollywood, and I didn't even realize it until I'm watching a marathon, and I'm like, wait a minute. And I was like, no, that's not her. So then I had to stop. You know, that's why I love social TV. I had to pause my DVR and go Google, and I was like, it is! It's Angel!
That is too funny. Yeah, I think my hair was different on there, on The Real Husband.
Oh, it looked, and I was
like,
I like
to switch it up.
First of all, how do you keep so many characters straight in your head? How do you?
I don't. I'm crazy. No, I'm just kidding. It's driving me crazy. Now, you know what? It's a blessing. It's an actor's dream to be able to work. I mean, if you can work one job, then you're lucky. So to have multiple jobs and being able to just play so many different characters across the board is very, I don't know what to say. It, you know, sometimes it's just your time. So I'm trying to take full advantage. And when I'm in one place, if I'm on one set, I'm trying to give 100% to that character. If I'm somewhere else, I'm giving 100% to that character. That's what I've had to learn. I've really had to learn to just take things moment by moment, because I know it's, you know, it's easy to think a little too far ahead or far behind, or I wish I did that, or I have to do this. And it's really hard to accomplish anything like that. So I mean, of course, Young and the Restless is my main priority and my main focus, but if I'm, you know, if I'm able to work it out with the scheduling and everything, I definitely try to do as much as I can, because, you know, you never know when opportunities will present themselves. So I do try to take full advantage.
Well, and my second part to that question is, what is it like working with that crazy-ass Kevin Hart?
Kevin is a nut basket. you know, I worked with him years ago on Soul Plane, and since then he has just continually blown up further and further. When he was on Jay Leno, I'm like, oh, it's real. It's real. It's really real now. He's blown up. He's funny. Honestly, with Kevin, what you see is truly what you get. Like, he's just a nut. And so for the most part with Real Husbands, it was a lot of, I mean, there was a blueprint, there was a script, but a lot of it was improv. A lot of it was improv, and I think we did about 20 to 30 takes of that one scene. And I remember, I think I just gotten off a plane, and it was a lot of energy, because that character, you know, the character, she's a little feisty. She's a little firecracker.
She is.
So I remember about the 20th or 25th take, I was like, "Woo-wee, okay, it's about time for that Red Bull. Red Bull gives you wings." I was feeling it. But Kevin has so much energy. He could just keep going and going and give the same amount of energy to each take. It's kind of crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, so It's a blessing.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just amazed that I forgot that, you know, the world of acting where you get more, you know, takes. It's everything happens so fast. When you said 20 takes, I was like, what? They couldn't do anything in one take. I was like, whoa. Go ahead. What was the question you were going to ask?
Well, I was just going to ask you, as a former college football player, were you rooting for anybody in this year's draft?
I wasn't. You know, the strange thing, I've played sports my entire life, since I was knee-high of a grasshopper. I mean, every sport you can imagine. And football was the one that I really excelled in, that and track and field. And I actually, was offered money to go to school. I was given, you know, football scholarships and track scholarships to go to school. But I was so much looking at sports as a career path. That was like the mentality that I had. I was that serious about it. I was never, you know, following the sports, you know, as far as, you know, like a spectator aspect of. I was more just, you know, figuring out what I can do to, you know, seal a deal to get a career in that field. And that, you know, didn't happen. I had many injuries, many other things, all kind of different stuff happened. But and moving on, it was once that stopped, I'm the type of person, like Angel said before, where she was talking about, you know, how you have to go about, you know, looking at different characters, doing everything. You have to stay focused and in the moment. I look at things, you know, kind of like an obstacle course when it's so much going on. I have to just look at what's right here, right in front of me. You know, I don't like to look too far ahead or too far over here. I just, you know, take things, you know, piece by piece and just put all my attention and all my passion and all my focus on what's here right now. So when I turned the page with sports, I literally turned the page. I was like, okay, what's next? What am I doing? So I, you know, that's a long answer, but the answer is I actually don't follow sports. When I stopped playing sports, I really don't follow sports at all. I couldn't tell you, you know, who's playing what, who series what, none of that. I'm focused in, like, doing whatever I have in front of me. Is that's, you know, what I know about for the most part.
That's good advice to live by, because, you know, I have so many, like, relatives and stuff who, you know, they'll be sitting around on the porch talking about, yeah, 1978, that was the year we took the championship.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, I mean, it's a good thing. I don't take anything away from, you know, like sports fans and spectators of sports, because it is something. I think you have to have some type of, and some type of break from the monotony of your own reality. And I think what it is it's finding what you identify with. Like, it's the same with, I tell everyone, I'm an advocate of, you know, physical activity is not something that you do to get in shape for a certain moment. It's something that you do, you know, as a lifestyle thing. It's kind of like your personal hygiene. You wouldn't say, oh, I want to be, you know, smelling good and fresh today or this week, so I'm going to brush my teeth and take a shower. No, you do it every day, and after a while, it's not like, you know, it's part of your life. So it's the same with physical activity. And the thing is, people kind of get misconstrued when they look at physical activity and they think, well, I don't like to work out, I don't like to run. Well, that's good and fine. Whatever it is that you identify with, that on an active level. You know, some people, you know, like to ride bikes, some people like to swim, some people, I have friends growing up that were, you know, they like to fight. You know, it's sad to say they're adults now. They know better than that. You don't, you know, take, you know, matters into, you know, confrontation into physical, you know, you kind of talk it out. But they like fighting. So now they do, like, you know, boxing or Muay Thai or different physical things with fighting. So you have to kind of incorporate that. So I think from taking your break from reality as far as, like, your life goes, you know, some people, you know, they go, they watch movies. Some people follow sports. Some people, you know, so I don't, you know, want to say anything bad about anyone that's a sports fan. You know, I love that. I love to see sports fans. I love, you know, because those people, they're passionate about, you know, sports. So that's their, I guess, you know, moment where they can kind of shut down and, you know, not think about things and just, you know, follow the sport, watch a game. You know, for me, I like to go to the movies. I'm kind of a movie buff because that's part of my world right now. That's what I identify with is, you know, acting and the art of, you know, filming and what goes on with that.
Well,
I'm sorry, I give elaborated answers sometimes. Like,
no, that's
but,
all right.
But they're entertaining. They're entertaining,
yes,
elaborate
definitely.
Answers.
We like a good interview. Look, because when you, we would rather get
rhetoric
that. Yeah, we would rather get that than, yes,
oh, yeah.
I really like that, Jamie. Because, you know, when you get one of those interviews, you're just like, Jesus, take the wheel. What am I going to do with this?
Right.
Well, listen, we can talk to you guys all night, but we know y'all got to get back and get to creating the lives of Genoa City for us, and we're going to be watching. You know, we know May Sweeps is coming up, so we're going to be seeing. We're going to find out about this road. We might have to just do the old-fashioned way and watch
the show. And we are, too. And we are, too. Right along with you.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm excited to have some.
I got scripts sitting in front of me right now. I got stuff I haven't read yet. Like, we're learning as we go. We get it. We don't see too far ahead, you know, as far as what's going on.
I am excited that I have some scenes coming up with Jessica Collins, though, because I love the whole legal sharks, you know, coming together.
Heck
I
yeah,
love that,
scandal. So. You know, bring some skin. Look, I ain't trying to write the show for Josh, but do like the scandal vibe. Y'all could be the gladiators of Genoa City.
And Michael might need some comforting here pretty soon. You never know.
You're right about
Michael
that.
Is going through it. He's going through it.
Michael's going through some changes. Well, look, we love you guys, and come back anytime. You guys are on The Young and the Restless on CBS Daytime. We love you, and we will tell people to keep tuning in.
Thank
Thank you so much, Jamie and Luke.
Love you back. And love the fans, everyone watching. We love you both.
Definitely.